Greetings and grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We had a good time. We spent 3 days. There was four of us that spent 3 days out at Lutty burning brush piles because you have to burn them in the winter. And man alive, I got burns everywhere. So if you see burns on here, it's not acne. I got burned. So we did get three big piles gone, which is a blessing. Kind of roughing it out there. You don't have any running water or anything, but well, my wife didn't have to clean up till I got home. So anyways, greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for this Sunday morning will be taken from the Gospel of Mark, a very popular part of the scripture. And we're going to read from Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 40 to 45, and it's a short reading, so you can remain seated. We will still honor God sitting for this gospel, because we know honor comes from the heart. So, reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, and he touched him, and he said, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, for the proof to them." But he went out and he began to talk freely about it and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the town, but was out in desolate places, and the people were coming to him from every quarter. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us, and we praise and we thank you for this word. For truly, Father, it is a light to our path that we would understand and know your love, your grace, and your mercy. Sanctify us in the truth, because, Father, this word is truth. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So Scott read to you about the healing of Peter's mother. And see, this is kind of the interesting thing. Jesus, he has great ability and great power, because he who has created everything out of nothing can do wonderful things. Because we know in the Gospel of John, everything is spoken in that fashion, that Jesus was there, nothing was created without him. And so we understand that this is also the Creator, fully God yet fully human. And so it's kind of an interesting thing where we look at, you know, Peter, and we have a lot of respect for him, which is awesome. And oftentimes we understand that we have called him, even in our older traditions, that he was the first pope. Which is really interesting, because he was married, because really it was his mother-in-law that was healed. So it's kind of awesome that I think it's okay to get married. I mean, if you want to be single, that's fine. You know, that's good too. Paul talks more about that than anyone else. But the fact of it is, this self-brought on celibacy is not really something that we have to chase after. That's just a side note, but it's interesting because not many people look at that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And that also shows the grace of God, right? Because how many times do we want to heal a mother-in-law? That was a bad joke, wasn't it? Once in a while, you got to have one. But anyways, so it's kind of an interesting thing, because after this, Jesus goes, Mark tells us, actually three times. Not that he only prayed three times, but Mark shares with us that Jesus in private goes and prays to the Father. And so after the healing, this is one of the times that he does that. And so he goes there alone in a desolate place and he prays. But Simon was searching for him, and he says, "Everybody now is looking for you." So his popularity is growing immensely. Because really, the power of the kingdom of God has not been seen in this fashion for quite a long time. And so there's a lot of people that have needs, so they're seeking for him. But really, Jesus shares with him, he says, "We're going to go to the next towns." He says, because this is the purpose that we came, that we would preach the word. Now, miracles are awesome. Don't get me wrong. You know, and I always marvel, because what we see as miracle is actually normal for God. In other words, he's the one that's created everything. He's the one that can bring restoration to everything. So for him, it's a normal act. For us, it's a miracle. How did that happen? But the fact of it is, Jesus is like, I'm not here just to perform these miracles. I'm here to preach the kingdom. I'm here for that purpose. And so that brings into our understanding, our number one goal as believers in Christ is not to seek just for miracles, but actually to preach the word, to encourage people in the truth, that God loves you, that God desires relationship with you, and that he sent his only son here to pay for your debt. So that is the number one thing that we preach. And so anyways, so they go throughout all of Galilee and they're preaching in their synagogues. I think this is really awesome because they don't hide from these places. They actually go to the synagogues, which are more or less what we would call like smaller home churches or things like that. So they go there and they actually preach to these smaller areas because they only had one temple for the sacrifices and the true worship. And so I don't know how to describe it in our day and age, but anyways, it's like, you know, the temple more or less would be like our big convention where everybody gets together once a year for the big thing, you know, but our churches basically are the satellite congregations that are doing their work. But anyways, it's a bad description, but I had to try something, so do what you want with that. But anyway, so when he's going along and he's preaching and he's casting out demons, right? He's got a powerful following going along. There's an interesting account that we're brought to. And I actually, if I was to title this message, I would title it more or less that Jesus trades places with the leper. We don't often see it that way. That's not how we often see this message. But it really struck me when I was going through this text. So this leper, he comes to him. Leprosy is a very serious disease. It's a very, it affects your skin, it affects your nerves. Your nerves can get so bad, your skin can get so brittle that, like, just doing normal tasks, your skin will rip and just fall off. And when you had leprosy, there's many different kinds of it, but when it was a strong case of leprosy, these individuals, they'd have to be put outside of the camp. They'd have to go outside of the city. And they would have their own leper colony that would go on here, and these people would live there, okay? They had to be separated. And there was actually distances that they had to stay away from people. And I want you to understand this. I mean, you've heard me preach it before, but the fact of it is, sometimes we forget. When you would come, say, to an area where there was a lot of people, the leper himself would have to pronounce to everybody, I'm unclean, unclean. Now, maybe we just think light of that, but can you imagine walking downtown Houghton on the sidewalk? We'd think they're crazy, for one thing, but, you know, coming near people, you'd have to say, unclean, unclean, so the people would step away from you. Your whole life, you spend really alone or in this leper colony. You're separated from society. You have no hopes of working. You have no hopes of supporting yourself. You are literally ostracized from the rest of the community. This is a brutal disease. And there were times when people could be healed of it. They'd be a lighter case, if you could say, and they could be healed of it. And in Leviticus 13 and 14, you can read all about it at home. It's pretty exciting reading. But really, it's an in-depth understanding of how an individual will be cleansed and declared clean by the priests. And so it's an interesting thing. This leper, who had no life, basically, because he was ostracized by his disease, and he does something very, very bold. And we may not see it this way. You know, the leper came to Jesus. He's breaking a lot of laws here. He's breaking a lot of rules. He's stepping outside of what they would consider normal. And this, to me, is a boldness. And he really does, and he falls down in this worship style, ascribing Jesus worth. Because I'm sure he's heard about others. In fact, there's basically many cases of leprosy. There's one where there's 10 lepers that are actually cleansed by Jesus. And so he comes to him, and it says he's imploring him, he's begging him, whatever you may want to call it. He falls before him in this prostrate, or in this kneeling worship style. And he makes a statement. And this statement to me is a statement of faith. It's very powerful. In my English, I'd want to say, if you want to. He says to Jesus, if you want to, you can heal me. Everything that I've lost, everything that I've been separated from, even just living not only separated from everything else and separated from the ones I love, but the pain, the suffering, the nerve damage, the skin that's just peeling and bleeding and oozing. If you want to, or if you will, you can make me clean. No truer words have ever been spoken in Scripture. Because he comes to his Creator and he says, if you desire to bring restoration, you can do it. This is a long time ago, 2,000 some odd years ago, and nothing has changed. God is still real. Christ is still powerful, and he is the restorer of our lives. We may not have, some may, but we may not have the physical leprosy that we're speaking of here. But we have the disease of sin, of separation, of addiction, of struggle, of lying, of cheating, of greed, of jealousy, of lust. And when we come to him, he in reality can make us clean. He can heal us. He heals us. By leaning upon him, trusting in him, coming to him. And I love how this is because this leper steps outside of the norm. You know, we love norm. I mean, come on. Not Norma. We love her too. But normal. Normal. We love what we call normal. We like to have our first song every time, then our two praise songs every time. We got to have the prayer and the offertory prayer. We go through all of this ritual, and I'm not saying it's all wrong, but we have this way we think everything has to be canned. And the worst part of it is, if another congregation does something a little different, we're like, whoa, we're suspect on this one. This guy, he knows what normal is. And he knows by society and by even the laws of the Scripture in the Old Testament, he has no right. No right to come to him. He knows what normal says. But in faith, he steps outside of the bounds of normal. That's what our God desires. He desires that we would trust him above all of our circumstances. I don't know what your circumstance is. I know mine, and I can barely keep track of that. I know there's many ways that I fail as a father. I know there's many ways I fail as a husband. I know many ways that I fail as a pastor. I know there's many ways that I in reality fail myself. But God loves me. He loves me in spite of my failures. He loves me in spite of all the letdowns I may have given my wife, my children, my church, and myself. He loves me beyond all of that. And he calls me to come and fall before him and seek for restoration. Okay, this whack job pastor's up there again, self-deprecating himself. I can't do it to you. How long would I keep my job if I started telling everybody what your problem is? And you know what the funniest part of it is? I don't even know what your problem is. I would see one that I think is your problem, and it may not even be close to the problem. See, this is very personal. But what I want you to understand and know that God knows the heart of man. He discerns, and he knows what our struggle is, what our battle is, and he loves us in spite of all of that. And he calls that we would stop looking to the religion of men, that we'd stop looking to the promises that we weekly make, and that we would look to the finished work of Jesus Christ and him alone. This is what he calls us to. This man came walking into an area that he didn't belong in. And he falls and he kneels before the creator of the earth. And he says, and if you want to, you can make me clean. All hope is restored in Christ Jesus. 2,000 years ago and today, all hope. And it says Jesus. I don't like the word in the ESV. It says, is moved with pity. Pity sounds terrible. Because pity sounds like, well, I feel bad for you, but glad I'm not you. He really is deeply moved how this comes out in the scripture. He feels it within himself. He has this connection because he loves. Have you ever watched your children do something and you just hurt for them because you know it's not going to come out well? Have you ever watched a loved one dying of cancer or something like that and you're like, I want to take this from you? And you're flawed. I'm flawed. I've been there. But it says Jesus is deeply moved. He has compassion on this individual. In other words, sympathy with the willingness and the ability to do something about it. He takes action. As Brother Scott spoke so highly last week, this is such an emphatic book. It just, when Jesus speaks, things happen. They happen. So it says that he was moved. And he does something that's unbelievable. And this is what we need to hear for society. We so many times look at the homeless. We look at the drug addicted. We look at the prostitutes. We look at the failing politicians. We look at all these people and think, I wouldn't go near them with a 10-foot pole. That's the human fallenness attitude towards people that are caught in the dregs of sin. Not Jesus. He touches it. We lose sight of this. But he goes and he reaches out. This man hasn't felt anybody, I don't know how long, I can't predict, but anyone touch him for a long time, I'm sure. He touches him. How does it make you feel? If someone was to talk to you and they kept backing up, doesn't make you feel loved, right? It makes you feel like they're scared of you or they're catching some cooties or something. But how much more in your time of need when someone comes and puts an arm around you, encourages you? Our God touches us. He stretches out his hand and he touches him and he says something that's so beautiful. I want to. Our God wants to help us. Our God wants to bring restoration and healing. We can repeat it 110 times and think it's a very trivial thing, but it says that God so loved us that he gave us his only son. He touched him and he said, I will. I want to be clean. There's no seven steps. There's no marching around a building. There's no having enough faith in yourself. It is the word of God spoken that brings restoration. He says, I will be clean. And immediately, that's this emphatic part of Mark, immediately, the leprosy left him. Gone. Gone. And he was made clean. God can do this in our lives. And he does it continuously. If we would but just hear him, if we would but believe him, if we would trust him. And how are we going to hear him? How are we going to believe in him? How are we going to trust him? I was looking for a Bible. We got one up here. Look at this. Right here. I was kind of getting on the Bible study this morning, you know. Because sometimes we forget, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. We have it in so many ways. My cell phone's over there. Hello, everybody on Facebook. We can listen to it. We can hear sermons anytime we want. Even in the seminary, they called me kind of a whack job because I had so many sermons downloaded on my phone. One of the biggest blessings for me in the last year and a half, and he may not understand it, is having Pastor Scott here. Because you dispense, you dispense, you dispense, but sometimes it's so powerful to be able to sit in that pew and receive. To receive. We don't come to church because we have to. We come to church because we desire to receive. And we're not receiving from me. If you are, go find another church. We receive of the Word of God. We receive of His truth and His love. We receive of that restoration because faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. I mean, I'm not against it, but I could get a stool up here and I could go more modern style. Maybe I could come running down here. I said I won't go past here because I had some people tell me not. I'm just joking. That's an old joke. But anyway, and I literally could get a stool here and we could have coffee hour. We're not here to hear about coffee hour. We're here to hear of the love of God who sees you as you are and brings restoration to you. We're here because we look in this chaotic world and we see the mess that it's in. And we need the hope of Christ Jesus. And so this is the hope of Christ Jesus, that in his time of need, immediately the leprosy leaves him. He was made clean. And then Jesus turns around and he says something that's very, very interesting to us. He sternly charges this guy. He's telling him a command. He says to him, you know, when he sends him away at once, and I'm saying to you, see that you say nothing to anyone. Don't go bragging about this. Don't turn this into the thing. Don't tell anybody about this. But go. He says, go and show yourself to the priests and offer a cleansing that Moses commanded you in Leviticus 13 and 14. Make the right offerings. Jesus is saying, as long as I'm here upon this earth doing this, I didn't come to take anything away from the law. I came to fulfill it. And before his crucifixion and resurrection, everything that was spoken of in the old time had to be fulfilled. We don't live in the old covenant anymore. We live in the new. We are not instructed, as this man is, to keep his mouth shut and go do his due diligence. We are now instructed to enter into all parts of the earth and to proclaim. So understand, this was before the crucifixion and resurrection. And Jesus is making sure that all is fulfilled. And we kind of get a little bit wondrous about this because it's like, but the guy doesn't shut up. Why? Because he's overjoyed. The man's life has been handed back to him. It doesn't say later if he went to the temple and offered the sacrifices. It doesn't say. That's not our business. But the reality of it is, this man is so moved, he can't help it. And I'm not judging him. That's for God to figure out because he's the boss and I'm not. But there's an interesting thing that takes place here. We have a great transition. We have a great trade. Because this man was ostracized. This man couldn't come into town. This man, in reality, had to stay away. And Jesus trades places with him. Because now this man can walk in public. This man can go down the street. And at the end of our text, it says Jesus could no longer walk among the people. Interesting. But the point of it is this man was so excited that he started publishing it right away because he was thankful. Now, coming into the new covenant, I'm going to ask us a question, and myself included. What am I thankful for? What do I publicize? What do I share? Not just here behind a pulpit, or sometimes I stay behind this pulpit, but sometimes I'm out there. What is first on my mouth? It's not about traditions. It's not about all our rules. It's not about our comfort zones. It's about the love of God impacting our lives. And I'm not saying we have to hold up billboards on the corners and things like that. I'm not saying that. But when we share one-to-one, are we thankful for what God has done for each and every one of us? Do we share, even in our intimate conversations with our wives, with our children? And I'm saying I fail at this, but God even winks at my ignorance. But do we share? Because why? Not only did Jesus want to fulfill everything of the old covenant, because as long as the crucifixion wasn't yet, we still were under it. But what was the other main reason that Jesus wanted him to go to the temple? It says right in our text. Because this man was going to be a living testimony of the goodness of God to those priests. We miss that sometimes. We get so caught up on that he went and didn't listen to Jesus, but he says, go and offer those things to the priest, he says, that Moses commanded. He says, for what? A proof to them. We are a living testimony of Christ Jesus to those around us. That is who we are. But he's as human as they can be, and he's excited over his restoration and his new life. I mean, how many times has Jesse said something dumb because he's excited? I guarantee you more than this. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news. And it got to a point where Jesus could no longer openly enter the town. So now he becomes the ostracized, the one that had to stay away. He was out in desolate places. But it didn't stop. See, because he had the answer. Even though he was, say, like the leper in the beginning, where he couldn't go near people, the people came to him. Jesus makes this statement in the Gospel of John very strongly. There's many times where he says, it is not time that the Son of Man would be revealed. I believe it's at least 3, if not 5, I can't remember exactly how many times he makes that statement. It is not time. It is not time. It is not time. And then all of a sudden, these individuals that more or less were Gentiles seek him. And Jesus actually makes a proclamation, now. Now is the time that the Son of Man would be revealed. And he says, and if I be lifted up, he says, I will draw all men towards me. And in that text, it actually means humans would have their heels in fighting him, and he's drawing them in. The ministry of Jesus and the work of Christ is so powerful, his kingdom is so powerful, that even against our will, we are often dragged to that cross. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he takes our place. He takes our suffering and our shame. One thing that I love about this text is, though the man was like as human as I could be and not listen so well, he wasn't ashamed. Have you ever considered that? He was a leper, diseased. And when healing comes, he is not ashamed. I am ashamed of so much crap in my life that I wouldn't even share with you. And God has called me out of all of it. Yeah, I said that word. The scripture says dung. You want to know what the Finnish translator said in tapioca one time? I won't tell you. I'm ashamed when I look to myself. You don't need to be ashamed because Christ has healed you. And he calls for us to be living testimonies. Whatever we've been through, it is honestly to the honor and glory of God that we are able to walk in this world with our head up. We don't look down. And we don't look inward, that would make us wretched. We look up and we see Christ Jesus. May he be glorified. May he continue to be the healer. And may we never be ashamed for the fire we've walked through, because even gold itself is tried in the fire. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.